My picture tonight reminds me of the picture we had on the cover of our bulletin. The water and the rocks. God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. It's one of the few photographs in existence of that time of creation. So we were able to get it for our bulletin. Rest in Christ's presence. When the world around you seems to spin faster and faster, find an oasis of calm at the center of your life, where you live in union with God. This is not a place that you see, that you sense in the way of dealing with the world, but it is a real place. It is a real union with God. When you can find that, all the whirling goes away, because he lives in eternity. He's not passing through time. He's directing time. He's outside of time. You get to step aside from the passage of time and just be with him. The only ultimate reality at that place is him. 1 John 4:12, "For no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." So that internal place where God is dwelling, you settle there with his love perfected in us. The rest that you experience in this place of relaxation, you should rest in this place as often as you can. That's not going to be many times, because we're busy people. But take full advantage of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is," notice, "love, joy, peace." And he goes on to say, "long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance," which is being on even keel, having control. "Against such there is no law." The fruit of the Spirit is not something you work up. You know, the tree doesn't go and produce fruit. It is part of his nature. It is the way God made him. And so the fruit of the Spirit is that which, as you turn over your life to him, as your life, as his life flows through you, you produce this fruit. Think of the three things that the world longs for: love, joy, peace. And it comes automatically with the Christian experience. Now, you and I are dealing with the world, and the world is a needy place. As you serve the needy of the world, it will be draining. You're dealing with people, I need. And they need from you. And they want you to give, you see. So they will tell you of their concerns, of their problems. They'll share this, and they hope that you can be empathetic. You can deal with them. But it will be draining. You need a place of relaxation. You need a place to draw the strength back to yourself. So do not depend on the thanks of the world to sustain you. I mean, we can be working hard at helping people, and if we get to the place where we say, "I'm going to stop because nobody gives me any thanks," then we're not doing it for the right reason. You see that? You say, well, I would expect, don't expect it. Expect just the opposite. That the only thanks you'll get is from God. He told you to do this stuff. So don't depend on the thanks of the world. Instead, come to your long-suffering Savior. I want to take you to a couple of passages in Hebrews. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he, Christ himself, hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor, give help to them that are tempted. The trials that you face, he has faced. And in many cases, much worse than what we face. So he's been there, you see. The path of this difficulty, if you look carefully, you can see his footsteps there. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what this is like. He feels it with you. He experienced the human lifestyle just like you did, in the same godless world, in the same human society that had forsaken and turned his back on God. So, in this rest, take time to embrace him in prayer. It is great to read the Word of God because you're listening to him speaking to you. There in Hebrews, he points out that God said we are to recognize that God is a good father to us. And the author of Hebrews says, God speaks to us as sons. Now, if you go back to the book of Proverbs, where he quotes this, you could probably have rationalized, oh, well, this is Solomon talking to his sons. But you've missed the big point, that God gave him those words, that it is God speaking to you, saying, my son. You see? So, you may read the Word of God and take it as instruction, as comfort, as a love letter, as a warning. Don't do that, you'll regret it. But it is your prayer time where you actively embrace him. Weep upon his knees as you bow before him. In fact, lean on his chest as John did, the beloved disciple did, and cast all your cares off your own shoulders. It gets pretty heavy there. You look like the hunchback of Notre Dame. And onto his unfailing heart. You say, do I dare do that? He has a lot to think about. He has a lot to care about. Well, listen, do not allow your pride to keep you from humbling yourself before him and before your fellow believers. It takes humility to say to someone, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'm having a hard time. But without that humility, you're resisting God. Look with me at 1 Peter 5:5-7. The verse that we were singing about is the last verse, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But I want you to carefully notice the process that Peter uses to get down to that. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. What does to be subject mean? They say, here's something I need, and you say, well, I'll take care of it. You're subject to them. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. The world loves to see the proud person who stands for his rights and all this. God loves to see the one who shows the strength of humbling himself. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, because who let these trials come your way? It was God. So you humble yourself under that mighty hand, that he may exalt you in due time. It's probably right, not right now. You probably aren't going to be elected president of the world. You won't be exalted. But in due time, it's going to happen. The whole world will see you as a child of God. At that point, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You do not cast all your care upon him because you are the proud person who says to your servant Jesus, take care of that for me. This is you talking to your master, saying, I can't bear it, but I know you can. Depend alone on God's almighty love and power. Not on yourself, not on your power, because your weakness enhances his power. Remember what Paul went through when he had an infirmity. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Jesus answered Paul's prayer to remove this thing from him, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is enough. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. With that principle, then Paul responds, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, if I was just stronger, if I was just more forceful, God says, no, that's not what I want you to be. I don't want you to be seen as that kind of person, because you would be able to do whatever you do without any help from me. But my glory is made perfect. My strength is shown perfect when it's accomplished through someone who has a weakness. Here's the problem. If you expect your sense of fulfillment from those you serve, you put unrealistic demands on them. They can't do that. They don't have the thing to give you your fulfillment. You can't count on them for that. And you might drain them of motivation. You keep expecting something out of them. And finally, they're tired of that. However, if you find your completeness in him, you can help others without using them to meet your own needs. The statement is, people give to charity because it makes them feel good. People are kind to others because it makes them feel special. Well, sometimes that's true. But if that's the only reason, you're using the people that need your help to build you up. And therefore, you can find the response from them to be, yeah, you're really something. Thanks a lot, you know. What I'm talking about here is that you're working in the world, you're serving the world. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. And if you start expecting thank you from the world, then something happens. The darkness of the world may easily enter your soul. By this I mean your mind, your will, your emotions. And you become darkened, bring you into depression. So this is all for nothing. I've given my life, I've given my soul, I've given my talents, I've given my money, and no real good has ever come to me from that. And that's depression, you see. So turn to your Savior for his light. as opposed to the world's darkness. Find true deliverance from the darkness you feel. This is only when you rest in Him, when you come to that oasis where you can drink your fill. Two passages from 1 John, 1 John 1, 5-7. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, if our actions are walking in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So God is the light, and we are to walk in that light. And then 1 John 2, 8-10. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is the light, and hateth his brother, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He's self-deceived, isn't he? See, this is where you can come when you're expecting your thanks from the world that you serve. Then that darkness comes, and you are doing it without loving care. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother, loving service, abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling, or there is no scandal in him. So where are you tonight? See? Full of hard labor, trying to win people to Christ, trying to deal with people, trying to solve some of their problems. And you say, it truly is a thankless job. Maybe you're looking for your thanks from the wrong place. Take the time out. Find that oasis within you. God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Comments or questions? Have you found yourself having to do this? Turning from the world, maybe in disgust. But to find true rest from turmoil, from distress, from depression in Him.